The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
Well, welcome to Backbone Radio. I was here about 23 hours ago. Make that less than that. Yep, guest hosting for Randy Corcoran last night, but Matt Dunn back in the saddle. Oh, yeah. Ready, booted, and spurred to ride. Would this be St. Patrick's Day? How's everyone Irish out there? Everyone is Irish out there. Blake Gallagher behind the glass claims you don't have to wear green if you're really Irish. And I don't know if that's really true. I think my wife disagrees with that one because I always get in trouble for forgetting to wear green. But last night I put out my bright green jacket and had it there ready to go to church this morning. And so I was one of the greenest people in the congregation this morning, feeling kind of proud of that. But I do claim a respectable percentage of Irish, even when it's not today, St. Patrick's Day. And yeah, up got the text in there. Happy St. Patrick's Day from Aleska, Alexa. And got another one from Cincinnati. Joe Biden wearing, he thinks it's 4th of July. Joe Biden thinks it's Independence Day today. Ah, no, sorry, Joe. At any rate, so glad you're on board and hope folks might be gathering around a radio, gathering around a listening device. For the podcasters out there, you know, you can gather up this podcast on your own time while you're running, jogging, hiking, enjoying that Colorado high-altitude, mountainy air. Might talk about that a little bit. I was introducing an interesting concept last night called Free Luft zu leben, which is about the free air life. And sometimes I do some segments about how to stay sane, how to stay strong, how to stay healthy when the world has gone mad. I introduce those, like lifestyle concepts. And I don't claim to have any of that worked out. Some days I think maybe a little bit, but then some days I think, not at all. But it's fun to talk about as we work on things together. And you're invited to check in as the program goes on, 303-696-1971. Keep those texts flying in to keep this errant Irish host on track, yeah. Maybe we'll bring some Bing Crosby, some Irish music in as the show goes on. Sometimes we get that way. But one interesting thing that has been going on, you'd say it's breaking news since I was last in here, and I have a whole new slate of topics for the folks that were around last night. But we are watching now in real time the evolution of a mainstream media hoax called the Bloodbath Hoax. And, I'm getting a kick out of this one. In that Backbone Radio, going back many years now, and by gosh, we're coming up on the 2-decade mark, are we not? And we're only getting younger and a little more Irish. At any rate, we talk a lot about the way mainstream media generates, contrives, manufactures hoaxes. We are students of propaganda, okay? And we like to say that nothing much gets by us. Nothing much. And sometimes I even say nothing at all gets by us. But Donald Trump, the president, the future president, who's on his way to a three-peat in November. Oh, yeah, I said it. Three-peat! At any rate, he was giving a speech to a massive crowd in Dayton, Ohio yesterday. And he was talking about the automotive industry and how if he does not get elected, China will eviscerate the American automotive industry, and it will be a bloodbath if Trump is not elected for the automotive industry. And so what does the media do? They come out with all these headlines saying, oh, Trump says if he's not elected, it's going to be a bloodbath in this country because he wants to have violence if he's not elected. Do you see what they're doing there? I've just verbally summarized it, but we will go to the tape shortly and let you decide and let you see what you think. And it is interesting to me that the bloodbath hoax is blowing up in real time before it even gets off the ground. Yes, before the bloodbath hoax can get its wheels, it has been essentially stifled already. Elon Musk has developed a bee in his bonnet about this hoax, and he has personally taken it upon himself to shame NBC News and a whole bunch of other folks, the usual folks, Nancy Pelosi, the leftists, the Sunday shows, who are all primed to roll with their manufactured bloodbath hoax. And, oh, man, it's just like, you know, it's like watching a fly get the legs pulled off and the wings pulled off. And this poor little bloodbath hoax isn't really going to make it out of the cradle, I don't think. And that is one of the things that I've been saying, is if you have a pocket of mainstream media that millions upon millions of people can get to without the threat of censorship, without the Joe Bidens and the FBI and the CIA and the intel agencies and the Department of Homeland Security colluding together to shut any voice up that is a problem for their need to generate hoaxes to stay in power, well, that is a game changer. That is an equation changer, and we're watching this play in real time in this age of mass delusion that we are living in, ladies and gentlemen. It was yesterday Elon Musk came out and said this: my gosh, if we do not have a red wave in November, America is doomed. Doomed. And, you know, I talk about Elon Musk quite a bit, and I don't agree with, like, everything he says and does, of course, but I offer him a great deal of respect for an apparently serious commitment to free speech, to spend $44 billion on Twitter, and then to take all the heat from all the organizations he's been taking heat from, like the ADL and a bunch of other organizations there after him trying to make his life hard. They tried to strangle advertising revenues on Twitter and the rest of it, now called X. But he has gotten a good little lesson in what it is like to take on the establishment. And Elon Musk had a little meeting with Donald Trump about a week ago. Don't know what they talked about. Don't know what was going on in that meeting. But I can guarantee you this, that Elon Musk has had a bit of a learning curve in what it is like to take on the political establishment, our corrupt ruling class in this country. You go against them, and they will do everything they possibly can to tear you apart, to lie about you, to hoax about you. And he's just kind of said, hey, you know, blank you. Blank you to all of that. And so, yeah, he's come to the conclusion that, you know what, and here's the quote, there is either a red wave this November or America is doomed. And that is the nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. We got to have a red wave. And what does a red wave mean? It means getting Trump over the top for the third time in November. That's what that means. And there might be a few folks out there, like the Mike Pences of the world, who somehow can't be held to account and keep their word because they're fake Christians like Mike Pence, who won't be endorsing Donald Trump, and neither will Nikki Haley, folks whose word does not mean anything. But of course, you understand that anybody who wants Biden to win in November are the people that want to carry on with the madness and the wholesale destruction of this nation. That's the story. That's where we are. It's all hands on deck for President Donald Trump right now. And watch the rhinos, right? Watch the NPCs out there. Watch that handful of fringe lunatic folks who you know they're not really who they have portrayed themselves as. And Pence being Exhibit A and Nikki Haley, neocon Nikki being Exhibit B, who in the end are not relevant and do not matter. But we got a country to save, folks. Let's get on that task here this evening. Be right back.
On your radio, smartphone, or smart speaker, News Talk 710, KNUS.
Back in the fight. That's right, sings Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders, and this song that has one of those legendarily glorious bass lines. Yeah, we got our Irish up already over the bloodbath hoax. Oh, man. These people. And let's just get it out there before we start talking to everybody. Here's Donald Trump on stage in Dayton, Ohio yesterday. Well, we were live on air on 710 KNUS, your local talk leader. But Donald Trump, talking about the automotive industry, going to have a bloodbath if he doesn't get elected and China eats it alive. And the media, we'll see if they get anywhere on this one. But here it is.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
There you go. There is the bloodbath comment from Donald Trump at a massive rally in Dayton, Ohio yesterday. Massive crowds. Crowds that, as Trump says, are bigger than even Ronald Reagan would have obtained if he had gone to Dayton, Ohio right now. And oh, yeah, NBC News comes out and says, Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. You see how they do that. You see how it goes with these people. And, you know, I mean, they should be ashamed, right? And they should be embarrassed. And it is fun to see Elon Musk out there commenting on NBC News, going for their hoax action, and just trimming it right down to size right out of the gate. I love it, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a new era. See, that's the thing. America does not want to lose their country. The American people just don't want to. And there's a will behind this now. Tired of the hoaxes. Sick of the hoaxes. Let's go with Rick, our marathon man. How are you, sir?
Great, man. How you been?
Been very good, thank you.
Good. When I watched the Trump rally yesterday, and as soon as I heard that word, right away, I know it's a figure of speech. But I said, turned to my wife, I said, the mainstream is going to use that statement and start distorting and twisting it to mean a civil war. And sure enough, they're
yep.
not that hard to figure out.
That's
they
what
really?
They're doing. And what I just said, you know, take up arms against hoaxes, of course. You know, they could pounce on something like that. What I'm just talking about, standing up to the hoaxes and exposing the hoaxes for what they are when they come out of the gate from the mainstream media. And we've had hundreds upon hundreds of these going back to the escalator 2015, right?
Absolutely. The operatives, they dissect and parse every word of every speech he does to go after whatever they perceive as something they can capitalize on. But all Trump does, he just talks, you know, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right. And it was specifically about the automotive industry.
Right.
Right. And there's all kinds of examples coming up now of, you know, the mainstream media was saying that when the RNC was taken over by the Trump people, well, it was a bloodbath in the RNC. That's mainstream media voices are saying that. And Joe Biden has used the term bloodbath quite regularly, and apparently he was talking to Bernie Sanders about how it's going to be a bloodbath in the primary if he doesn't step out of the primary, right? I mean,
right.
The hypocrisy doesn't matter. They're going to roll with it, right?
Right. Now, the other item I want to bounce off you, and that is I found it interesting that Kristi Noem would be at his rally in Dayton, Ohio.
Yes.
And to me, I think, I really believe her and Dr. Carson are the two finalists.
Yep, for VP selection?
Yep.
Yep. And I don't know about that. I would go Dr. Carson for sure on that front. I would see Kristi Noem in the cabinet somewhere or another, somewhere good, somewhere where she can do something positive. But I don't think she quite has what it takes, and if you add up her whole track record, to be the heir apparent to MAGA, right? And I don't know if Dr. Carson quite does either, but I don't know if anyone does out there, and that's something that we've debated on, right? I mean, who's going to be the best heir to MAGA out there, and I don't know if there,
yeah,
if there
want,
can be
I,
one.
I don't want another Reagan to Bush.
Right.
Ever
that,
again.
That was...
Ever. Disaster.
Right.
End of an era. As soon as... That was the end.
Yep. When Reagan stepped out and the Bushes took over, we've had a couple of decades of seriously bad news. Actually,
terrible.
You'd go back to, what, 88, right? 80. Since 88, we've had essentially atrocious Republican leadership with the exception of a little stretch of Newt Gingrich in the House in the mid-90s. It's been bad news, and it's been all McCain's, Bushes, Romney's,
Clinton.
People like that.
Ugh.
Yeah.
On the other side, too, it's been terrible the last.
But when you think about VP, you think, okay, who is the best to help ensure the election of Donald Trump in 2024?
And I think it's overrated. I think it's more important to have someone that can carry the torch correctly.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this has been going on for years, that debate, but it's minuscule. People go in the booth, it's either this or that.
Yeah, and that's I wonder, you know, I mean, if the mainstream media is going to come after Trump, I mean, what was the playbook I played last week that you have to call him a racist, a rapist, and a fascist?
Right.
Who would be the best VP sidekick to insulate against those attacks, which are going to be full-on psycho, right, all the way to November? And Ben Carson, I think, might be the best on that, right?
Yes, also because he has this soothing voice, not loud. I think it'd be a nice counterbalance. Plus, I don't know, I trust him.
Kind of a calm presence, right? And you just can't mess with him with his brilliant medical career and served in the last cabinet. And, of course, there's that iconic story of when Ben Carson came out for one of the early primary debates in 2015, 2016, and they did not announce his name, and so he was hovering awkwardly behind the stage. And Trump waited with Ben Carson before they came out onto the stage, if you remember that. That's a iconic moment in political history, and only Ted Cruz walked right by him. A few other candidates walked right by Ben Carson standing there, but Trump stood there and waited with him. And I believe they came out together. I don't remember exactly how that went, but that's one of those moments that could come back into a VP selection in some weird way, right?
I think so.
By the way, I saw a note. Did you hit 289 on the marathon count?
Yep, 289 in Hurricane, Utah.
Wow. Hurricane?
Hurricane.
Never heard of that town. Whoever heard of it?
Southside of St. George.
Wow, okay, you were down there.
It's spelled hurricane, but all the locals, you pronounce it hurricane.
Nice dry air. Boy, well done. Well done, Rick. 289. you're ahead of me by 289, just so you know. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Listen to podcast of Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn at 710KNUS.com.
Time was drifting, this rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway. Restless feeling, really got a hold. I started searching for a better way.
Cowbell. There's the cowbell, right on. Couldn't get it right. Who does this song? Is this the Climax Blues Band? Did I get it?
That it is.
All right, Climax. Like the Molly Mine up in Leadville. What does Molly mean? Molybdenum, as we all know, that little additive to steel that makes it hard enough to manufacture weapons and things like that. Yeah, you drive by up there. I've been doing that my whole life long, heading up to the hills to breathe some outdoor air, to put some skis on, to climb some mountains, that kind of stuff. Anyway, glad you're on board. Matt Dunn here. It is Backbone Radio off to the phone lines, just so you get the idea of this bloodbath hoax business. NBC headline: Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. Elon Musk pounced on that. Here is CNN Politics. Trump warns of bloodbath for auto industry and country if he loses the election. NPR. Trump says some migrants are not people and predicts a bloodbath if he loses. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of where they're headed with the bloodbath hoax. And I think it will be an interesting situation to have the shoe on the other foot if the mainstream media tries to gin these things up from Russia hoax onward. Jussie Smollett. Oh, we've been there for all of them around here at Backbone Radio. And we'll talk a bit more about the mechanics of all this, how they work and how they operate in the human mind. A psychologist persuader named Robert Cialdini, C-I-A-L-D-I-N-I. I've read a few of his books. One's called Influence. One's called Persuasion. It's a very precise science how you propagandize the masses. And you have to know how to defend yourself in our screen-based propaganda world, where we are blizzarded by it constantly. Survival. To survive as a country, to survive as an individual, to maintain your happy, even keel, good cheer, you got to be able to see through this stuff. And more to follow here. Here's Mike in Littleton. Mike. Welcome, Mike. How are you, sir?
Well, Matt, long time no talk. Yeah, I had to call in, but I really want to talk to you about Teddy Roosevelt. But before I do, I want to stick to topic for once here.
Yeah.
The bloodbath thing, now I'm speaking, you know, hypothetically, but I extended both my arms against these people. I took up both my arms. A few years back, I reached out my left arm, because I'm left-handed,
okay,
and unplugged the TV. And then I extended my right arm with my left arm, and I picked the doggone thing up and took it downstairs, never to be watched since then. These people on cable, on broadcast, they've reached despicable now with this kind of stuff. But it's just, Matt, it's not even worth watching. It's just pollution.
Right. And that goes back to the Thomas Jefferson famous quote that in his day even, he felt like the people who did not read the newspapers of the day were more informed than the ones who did. And that's exactly right. When you fill your head full of, what was the Rush Limbaugh phrase, minds full of mush, you're only doing yourself a disservice. Unless you really have the special set of skills required to not let any of that in, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, I do know what you mean. And by the way, I just read an article today. The Ford Motor Company, their electric vehicle division,
yeah,
they're going to declare a loss of $4.7 billion.
Yeah, and that's kind of widespread in the auto industry. I've been watching that. Apparently, the EV world is not entirely profitable for the big companies, and maybe Elon kind of got that all going and has done very well, and then he's moved on to other things before it sort of went south, huh? Pretty smart.
Yeah, the market's not there, and you can't force the market, and Trump is just a little bit ahead of the curve when he, you know, maybe he could have used different language, but there's going to be big problems ahead. Our economy, U.S. economy, is highly entwined with the automobile industry in many ways.
Yes, that is a fact. And, you know, if we lose our automobile industry, that would be, quote, bloodbath for the economy of the country. So I think he's right to use that phrase. And that's a common phrase used with, stock markets and business calculations and big losses like from Ford in the EV world. You would call what you just described a bloodbath. That's the language you would hear on CNBC and Fox Business and the rest of it, right?
Yes, and one should respond by taking up both their arms and doing something about it, you know? Put that TV away.
Yes.
So, okay, hey, Matt, I had to ask you, you were talking about the Man Cave, the Dunn Library.
Oh, yeah.
And Teddy Roosevelt, okay? So it drove me crazy after I heard that, but I couldn't call in again. So you have a good collection of TR books. What do you have? Do you have the Edmund Morris biography?
And I'm just leaning over to grab another book. But Mornings on Horseback by
David McCullough.
The McCullough one is my favorite. I have the Morris trilogy, I believe.
I do too.
Good. Okay. And I got that when it first, I feel like when it first came out or it was around then, and then it came out as like a trilogy set, and of course I had to get that, you know. So Teddy Roosevelt, okay, most fascinating president I think we've ever had. And what we were talking about last night, he was big into chopping his own wood. He was big into running around the Colorado Mountains, and he was a big hunter and fisherman. And when he was in the White House, he had this habit of taking these walks where he would just get a few buddies at the White House while president, and they would point in a certain direction, and they would just walk that direction and surmount any obstacle that got in their way for as far as they could go with as much time as they had. You got to love that kind of spirit. That's the free luft zu live, open air life spirit that dude had in droves, right?
I totally agree. Yeah, he took like ambassadors from England, and they said they go across Rock Creek Park in Washington. It's like, okay, we're heading this direction, and nothing gets in our way. And, you know, they did it. But, his life fascinates me too. And I've got, I kind of specialize on just different aspects of it. There's another book called The River of Doubt.
And yeah, it's about his, that's by Carmen Millard or Candace Millard.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
The host amazes me. Ceases to amaze me.
I've got the book hound thing from an early age when I worked in my cousin's great used bookstore in Boulder, Colorado. And by the way, Candace Millard just came out with a great book, which I actually just read called, I can't remember the title, but it was about the discovery of the source of the Nile that Richard Francis Burton and John Hanning Speke. And it was really well-written book about that time in the British Great Empire era. And Burton and Speke are some of the most fascinating people you could ever read about. Millard did it justice. By the way, I tried to interview her, but she just wasn't able to come in on Backbone Radio. But I did try. It's a rare try for an interview. But did you like that River of Doubt? I never have read that one.
Oh yeah. It's stunning what he went through. And he was in his late 50s. He and his son Kermit going down that river. It's now called they renamed the river. It's called the Rio Roosevelt now. You can see it on the maps. It's a tributary of the Amazon.
In Brazil, right?
In Brazil, exactly. Yeah.
And that's where he got some kind of a illness that he never could shake. Right? He came back and he got something in that river that pretty much finished him off, unfortunately, huh?
Yeah, it was an arduous situation. They had to carry him out of there on a stretcher, get him on a boat and everything. He couldn't walk. It was that bad. So, you know, it was very interesting. But, you know, I really called to see. I thought for once that I was ahead of the host because I've got – this is embarrassing, but I've got 13 different books on Roosevelt.
Well
done.
But
I'm not ahead of the host yet. He's got all the ones that are my favorites already. Well, hey, what about Douglas Brinkley? It's called Wilderness Warrior.
Yep.
It's all about Roosevelt's contributions on wildlife and parks. And
yep, and – I don't know why, but, you know, this is stuff where I've done a bit of reading, and I was talking about how Teddy Roosevelt, like to create the national park system, would wait until Congress was out of session, and he would just start annexing huge swaths of land when, like, the senators from Colorado didn't want to give the land over to the government so it could be turned into a park, right? Because they want, you know, had the logging interests and various things, and
yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt was like, "Hey, screw that! I want that to be a park."
Yeah, I think he was instrumental in getting Mesa Verde passed and put into the park system. So he did a lot of great things for the country. But
yes, he did.
Wilderness Warrior is an interesting book. It details all that. And it's exhausting. He did so much. It's exhausting.
Well, Mike, I salute your man cave's got to be pretty impressive. Thank you, sir.
Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Little Sting, little Police action here, and I have to say, as this plays, there's some kind of a dance musical thing going on downtown Denver. Went down to the DCPA, had a date night a while back with some friends, and it's a Police or Sting-inspired dance musical thing. And we went to it, and we sat there, and we watched that whole thing, and I have to just admit, my whole life I've never been able to abide the Police or Sting at all. And so many of these bands that were, I was overexposed to on FM radio as a kid, you know, and I couldn't bear it. I've had soft spots of nostalgia for them since then, and I've started to like some of them, like Eric Carmen, may he rest in peace. For example, do an RIP Eric Carmen segment after a bit. But anyway, it was, I had the Police and Sting music spinning around in my head for like four straight days after watching that. And it was pretty good performance and everything. And you could get political with it and you could say a lot of negative things about it and kind of celebrates the glories of the open border and all that. But, you know, we just won't go there, will we? We'll just dwell on the fact that I had Sting back in my head for all those days and had some suffering with that, may I say. One song after another. At any rate, let's do some more hellos as we're talking about the bloodbath hoax, which is failing to thrive, failing to get off the ground, thanks to having the platform X, having Elon Musk, having purchased Twitter. But back in the day, all these years until Elon, any hoax would come along and the media would say, "Oh yeah, let's do that hoax now." And then if anybody disagreed with it, well, you'd just lose your account, censor them. Facebook would censor you too. And Google would do the search geared to see only the hoax materials that the establishment wants you to see, right? Part of the brainwashing concept. But and Eric, hang on. Got to go. Peter and Eric, don't go anywhere. But Peter in Denver, how are you, sir? Are you seeing a bit of hoax action on this one?
Oh, yeah, definitely, Matt. By the way, I'm in house sitting in Kiowa right now.
Oh, nice little town with that little water tower. I love Kiowa.
Yes, yeah. So I can see that from here.
Okay. Yeah, I've been
until
driving down 86 since childhood.
Yeah, 86, and then when I turn off on 45, I think it is. It's like the small county road.
You know, Kiowa nice used to here. Be, you feel like you were really getting out there somewhere, and now Kiowa is kind of just another suburb of Denver.
It's still kind of rural, at least where I am. I'm like on this 8-acre ranch my friends own. They're in Florida now. But
oh, why? Well, that sounds pretty cool place to be hanging out, Peter.
Yeah, you know, I'm always living in the city, and the first few nights is kind of creepy. You know, you go outside and it's dark. And there's no sound, and it's really dark.
Well, you know, watch out for the wolves now that the wolves have been reintroduced, Peter, I'll tell you.
Yeah, down here, I haven't seen anything yet.
You ever heard of Peter
coyotes.
And the Wolf? Peter, you heard of that
yes,
one?
Yes, I have. Thank you. Now I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's nice down here. Yeah, I was a city boy, but I can get used to this rural living. I have trouble with that word. But anyway, yeah, last night I was watching Trump's Ohio speech. And, you know, I heard him say bloodbath. And as you said, he was strictly talking about economics. You know, if he doesn't win and Biden wins, it's going to be economically at least a bloodbath. And, you know, I go online today and they're talking about, oh, he's threatening violence. He's going to get his right-wing radical one sixers and they're going to go around killing people and stuff. You know, they just... You know, I listen to opposition radio just to hear what they're saying or read opposition articles. And it's just, and I just don't even want to see it anymore. Everything, nothing is truth. Not even a tinge of truth comes out of there. You know?
Yep.
And I'm just.
And that's the thing is I think it's not going to work that well for them this time around, Peter. I think the American people have seen through enough of it. There's been enough hoaxes that have become transparently hoaxes to millions of awakening wonders, and there's a palpable sense we're losing this country. So I just don't think the appetite is there for more hoaxes, and Elon Musk stepping up and Trump sailing right along through the primary and the rest of it and just never giving up. It's a different world this time around.
Yeah, I could definitely see a change coming on, you know, like reading stuff and listening. People aren't falling for it this time, you're right.
Yep, that's my sense.
Good sign. We still got, 8 months to go. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, they'll come up with something every day until then.
Yeah, and you were talking about Teddy Roosevelt, to your last caller. You know, I've been doing a little reading on him, and much better than his, what was FDR's nephew?
I believe it's not, was it, nephew, maybe once removed or something like that.
Uh-huh, yeah. He was a good man. He did a lot of good things. Did you ever read a speech on critics?
The man in the arena, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the famous quotes.
Really
that's
inspiring.
Maybe his most famous quote now. That the man in the arena, the critic who's sitting on the sidelines complaining about the man in the arena. Yeah, well...
Yeah, the man in the arena could know failure, could know victory, but the guy sitting on the sideline that never knows anything.
By the way, go
tried.
Up to Glenwood Springs, the Hotel Colorado. They got a bunch of Teddy Roosevelt stuff in there. At least they used to. Hope they haven't gotten PC enough to take all that down. But I believe they have the Roosevelt there. Room and all that, because he used to go there and stay there and go hunt bears and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
Hotel Colorado.
Yeah. It's got
one of the
great landmarks. But I'll tell you what, Peter, watch out for the wolves, but enjoy your time in Kiowa, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All the best. Stay close, sir. And let's be saying, Eric, the great American, we got Eric up. Yeah, Eric is up. And are you feeling Irish today, Eric? How Irish are you?
I'm a black Irishman. You know, and us black Irishmen... Dr. Dunn, you know why us black Irishmen don't take aspirins?
I've been seeing something about that. Why is that, Eric?
Because we refuse to pick the cotton out of the bottle.
Ah.
Now you get it.
I got it on the backbeat, and that's one of those, like, is it okay to laugh? Should I laugh at that, or should I not, you know?
What a black man telling a cotton joke. Come
Eric,
on
today
now.
We're not going to call you the Eric the Great American. We're going to call you Eric the Great Irishman, okay?
The Black Irishman.
Just on this day.
Yeah. Matt, let me get to the point. As I told Blakey Blake Blake, I'm still parked next to his Mercedes and next to your Bentley, so I must have a great signal. I'm still in the parking lot waiting to get on air. Okay?
Right on. My Bentley, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like those wheels?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And you know what? Please, no more. No more Ben Carson. No, ever about Trump's running mate. Please.
You don't want
you
Ben Carson?
What? No. I want Don Jr.
Oh.
If I was running, if I would got into the presidency for one more term, I would have my son as VP because I know my son would have my back. And, you know, Donald Trump has his daughter-in-law as RNC co-chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Why stop there? Get Eric, his other son, as Secretary of State, and Ivanka. Let's go with her. Secretary of Treasury. Let's throw Melania and Barron. You know, let's just do the Trump thing so Donald Trump doesn't have to worry about nobody. Stabbing him with that knife.
Yep.
But no more Ben Carson, please.
But don't you like Ben Carson, Dr. Carson?
I do. I think the world of him. But he's boring.
He takes too long
to get a sentence out. I mean,
we'll be talking about this one, Eric. I'm going to work on
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.